Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. And welcome to the third anniversary of A Seeking Heart. It's hard to believe that we're entering into our third year of talking with you every morning. And what a blessing it's been. And I can hope and pray for many, many more years to come. To celebrate today's anniversary, I asked my friend and the first victim, guest of A Seeking Heart, Lisa Hendy, founder of CatholicMom.com, author of Chime Travelers series, and the new Catholic Mom Prayer Companion out now from Ave Maria Press. Welcome to the show, Lisa.
Hey, Allison, I will not subject you to singing happy anniversary to you, but I'm just offering prayers of gratitude for you today. And I'm so, you know, just blown away by your continual yes to this. And I'm just very happy to be with you.
Thank you. And I am just so grateful to you not to have a big love fest here on A Seeking Heart, but really, Lisa, your mentorship, your encouragement, your allowing me to become a writer over at CatholicMom.com almost 5 years ago really has really given me such an ability to say yes and to continue to say yes to God and whatever he asks of me. So thank you to you. You kind of share in this anniversary with me.
Well, I'm happy to share it. And, I just can't wait to see what's going to be happening next year at this time, Allison.
Me too. And I'm going to just assume that God's going to be a continued blessing. So speaking of blessing, we're still in the Christmas season. I love that the Catholic faith celebrates Christmas as one great day for 8 days and ends tomorrow at the Epiphany, January 6th. But Merry Christmas to you. And how was your holiday? Your family usually has some great adventures. What did you do to celebrate this year?
Yeah, you know, Allison, I think since we last talked, my life has gone through some major changes. And our big adventure this year was that we stayed home for Christmas, but it was a new home because we're living in Los Angeles now. And so it was our first Christmas here in our tiny little apartment. And it was the first Christmas where my eldest son was with his fiance's family in New York City. And so he was not physically with us on Christmas Day. He was with us for New Year's, but we had my younger son and my mother-in-law, and the tiny apartment was filled with lots of joy.
I love LA. I had a chance to visit a few years ago. It's just it's a crowded place if you're trying to get somewhere on the highway, but it's so beautiful, like the weather, the sunshine. So are you enjoying your new digs there in LA, that new location?
I'm loving it. I have to say I'm like the one bizarre person who only gets in the car maybe like once a week. I can even walk to Mass. Set ourselves up very intentionally here to be in a situation where for the first year, at least my husband can walk to work. And we went down to one car and I don't get it out to go to the store or the bank or anything like that. I rarely drive on those freeways. So I get it out to go to the beach or to my kayak. And aside from that, I'm blessed to be working from home and in a pretty walkable neighborhood. So it is lovely.
That's a dream. That is an absolute dream. What a blessing the Lord has given you. That's
amazing.
So I get
all the benefits without the 405 freeway.
I have to say, though, I was there visiting a friend. So all the time on the highway gave her and I lots of time to catch up in conversation. And I think you have to experience it at least once. But really, LA is beautiful. And I'm so happy that you're enjoying it so tremendously. It's also Happy New Year. I love this time of the year. This refreshingness. I'm making up words. That's what I do. But do you make resolutions for you?
Oh, I'm a huge resolution maker. And you know what I've started doing? I started this like 5 or 6 years ago, but I do the number of resolutions that there are. Like, so last year I made 16 goals. This year I did 17 goals. I keep adding goals. What's going to happen when I'm going to have like 99 goals for the year? But I try to make them, you know, measurable and realistic and everything. But I'm an optimist, so I think that's the part of me that has to have resolutions every year. And it's fun to look back at them too and see, you know, what did I actually do from last year, and what was completely unexpected that happened this year that I never could have anticipated last year. That's fun too.
I'm a little even more fanatic than that. A few years ago, I decided to make 10 lists of 10 things that I either want to stop, try, or improve on. And I've been doing this for many, many. In fact, it was even featured in Family Fun magazine back in like 1999 or something. And it really is fun. Like, and it's simple, like 10 books I want to read, or 10 people I want to reconnect with, or 10 spiritual habits I want to adopt. And if anyone is interested, December 30th, I actually had a whole show on the New Year's resolution and my 10 list of 10. You can get that on breadboxmedia.podbean.com if you'd like to check out my 10 list of 10. I think I'm going to blog about them too, because I think resolutions and goals are good things. It's good to set yourself someplace that you're heading to. And you probably feel the same way since you made 17 of them.
I learned a long time ago, though, that I have to be careful about not making them too sort of esoteric. So not like, eat better, exercise more. But I need to have kind of like benchmarks for myself. And I know everybody works differently with this. But for me, you know, this is having some things that are small, accomplishable, but also that will change my life for the better and hopefully draw me closer to God and are always my resolutions.
Absolutely. And I always I say improve upon, because, you know, last year I set a goal to spend more time in morning prayer. My daughter now goes to school. Her bus comes at 6 a.m. I've always been a night owl, but now I'm awake at 6 a.m. And I thought, instead of going back to sleep, I'm going to use this time because it's quiet and it's really just such a beautiful time of the day to spend more time in prayer, in scripture, with a daily devotional. And so last year I did it pretty well. So this year I want to improve upon it and maybe do it more often, or maybe a little longer, or with just a little bit more mindfulness. I think that's my word for 2017, to be more mindful. And one of the things that I'm really enjoying that we both belong to is the Saint Teresa. Is it Teresa? I don't even, book club.
Teresa for Mother Teresa, now Saint Teresa.
Ah. See, I have this real devotion for Saint Therese of Lisieux. So everything to me is just TH and I'm already like Therese.
Yeah.
So Saint, and this was actually not TH, but anyway, Saint Teresa Book Club on Facebook. And we're discussing our book. I'm so proud and honored to be part of this book, The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion from Ave Maria Press. Tell us a little bit about the St. Teresa's Book Club first.
Well, the book club is the inspiration of two beautiful women, Amanda and Michelle, who created this using the great technology of Facebook, a private group, but anyone can join. If you want to join, you just go look for St. Teresa's Book Club, no H in that one. And really anyone can join, and it's a community of people who love their faith and love to read and want to spend their time on social media discussing great books and lifting each other up in prayer. So we've been really lucky that they actually chose The Catholic Mom's Prayer Companion for their first book of 2017. And for the next 6 weeks, we'll be in that community, you know, reading and praying with everybody.
And I love how they structured it. So each day there is a meme or a graphic, however you want to call that, which includes a quote from the book and then a question for us to ponder and talk about. And the discussion has really been, I've been part of many, many online book clubs. I am blown away by the interaction of this particular book club. There's a good 10 or more, maybe even 20 women. And I know that may seem a little overwhelming. Oh, that's so much reading. But it's just little tiny, you know, just really one sentence, maybe two at the most, sentence thoughts on where the book has brought them. And I think that is such a great way because of connecting, because spirituality is not just about you and God, but the Lord, I feel really truly wants us in communion with each other. We think about Jesus sending out the disciples two by two and to come into community, like there's accountability, there's that you're not in this alone kind of feeling. And I don't know, how do you feel about being part of a group like that?
Well, I think that group actually echoes what I really love about the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion, and that's that word companion. So mm-hmm. companionship. And so, you know, just as in the Prayer Companion, we tried to intentionally choose lots of writers from different walks of life and different life circumstances. In that group online, the book club, you have the same thing, is that people are interacting with the same, you know, relatively short, these reflections are only 300 words each day, so it's very manageable. And yet you see all these different perspectives that they're coming to, you know, and so that makes the community really beautiful.
Absolutely. We're talking this morning with Lisa Hendy. She is the founder of CatholicMom.com. She's also the editor and contributor to the new Catholic Mom. I shouldn't keep saying the new. It's the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion out from Ave Maria Press. I'm so just honored and proud to also be a contributor to this wonderful book, Daily Devotional. If you haven't purchased it yet, you can go to AveMariaPress.com and purchase it there. You can also go to CatholicMom.com. I'm sure there's a link there, right, Lisa?
Yes, but if you're lucky enough to have a Catholic bookstore by you, please go there first. Amen. Because they really need our support and they're carrying it too. So
absolutely. I love that every author I have on, they always remind me and those listening that we need to support our Catholic bookstores. So go there first and foremost. And if they don't have it, by the way, they can get it for you. Just tell them what you're looking for. Because if you're looking for it, I'm sure somebody else is as well. I was just at the Father Peyton Center this last week, and they had a whole big stack of them. I was so excited to see it there in the Father Peyton Center. Of course, they're Holy Cross Fathers, so of course they're going to have the Ave Maria Press books there, but just to see our book sitting there was pretty exciting. So if you're in the Easton area, I know where you can get it. Head over to the Father Peyton Center and their bookstore. We have much more with Lisa Hendy right after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. I am so blessed this morning on my third anniversary show to be joined by Lisa Hendy. She is the founder of CatholicMom.com. She's the author of the children's series Chime Travelers, which we're going to talk about in just a few minutes, and the Catholic Mom Prayer Companion out from Ave Maria Press. And we're talking about the St. Teresa's Book Club. If you're interested, just look for St. Teresa Book Club on Facebook. You can ask to join. It's been really a wonderful experience of reading the Catholic Mom Prayer Companion, and then knowing that there's so many other women reading it together and sharing our thoughts. And it just, I think there's something about that, again, community of knowing that you're not alone. For me, I don't know about your experience, Lisa, but my family is not a very church-going family. I'm pretty much it. And so sometimes it can feel very isolating, like no one else believes this or there's no one else to share this with. And you just get so excited when you see God working in your life and in your heart. And to have these women to share it with, I think is also a great blessing of coming together for a book club.
It is. And Allison, I mean, we were talking before the break about resolutions. And so for a lot of people, one of their big resolutions is to grow closer to God. And I think that that can be sort of like daunting if you're somebody that maybe has been away from the practice of daily prayer. You know, how do I get started? Like, so if I just sit there, like, what's going to happen? And so sometimes you need a tool like the Catholic Moms Prayer Companion to kind of like start to guide your steps. You know, how do you make daily prayer a part of your routine? And so I love that the book club adds not only kind of an accountability to something that you're trying to make a habit. So, you know, what do they say? Like, it takes 21 days to make a new habit or something. So you have some accountability partners there, but more importantly than that, you have real sisters that are kind of like understanding exactly what you're going through. And, you know, you can just be honest about, you know, this is what I'm struggling with today, or where I need some prayer support or whatever. And that's a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. I'm looking so forward to actually get to be facilitating the group from January 30th through February 5th. And the Lord is so funny because I struggle with vanity and pride. And I went and flipped ahead. And in the 6 weeks that we're doing the book club, none of my reflections pop up at all. And I thought that was kind of funny. I was so excited.
That's actually probably better for you, Allison, because one of mine was the very first one of the year. And honestly, like, that's a little cringeworthy at times too, just to like, you know, see, oh, what are people going to say about it? And what if they hate, like, talk about your ego, what, right? And what if they think it's stupid? And, you know, because this is an environment where people are free to really have, you know, exactly, to express themselves. And so, you know, for me, that was like right off the bat, boom, here it is. And of course, you know, that one of my goals every year is always having to do with humility. So that maybe this is why you and I get along so well, Allison, is that we struggle with similar things and we're blessed with similar interests. So
absolutely. I can't tell you how many times I've gone to confession and the priest looks at me and he says, have you heard of the prayer, the litany of humility? Yes, Father, I'm quite aware of it. He's like, you apparently don't use it very often. No, Father, I need to work on that. But in this case, the book is so beautifully edited, and I was so beautifully edited. I am not worried at all that people aren't going to love it, because I even read them and go, wow, I didn't even know I read that. So the Holy Spirit definitely worked throughout all of the 80 plus contributors. And we also did a great week of shows on the Catholic Mom Prayer Companion. And I'm going to link to those interviews because really the book is incredible. And I want more people to have an opportunity to learn more about Catholic Mom Prayer Companion, Ave Maria Press. And then this, and believe it or not, Lisa, in 8 weeks, we're going to be in Lent already. I don't mean to jump too far ahead, but I really want to take this opportunity talking about being in a book club, is in when this one ends, and just a few weeks after that, on Women in the New Evangelization Wine, we're going to be starting a Lenten book club with a book that you are a part of as well, called Walk in Her Sandals. And I am very blessed and honored to be asked to spearhead or facilitate that online book club. So just want to get that word out there too, that Walk in Her Sandals Wine, Women in the New Evangelization will be the Lenten book club over at Wine. Is Catholic Mom going to be doing a Lenten book club as well?
Well, I don't know specifically how we'll be linking to that, but I know we are going to be part of supporting that because several of the contributors have relationships to Catholic Mom. But most importantly, that is a book that's really going to revolutionize people's Lenten journey. Mm-hmm. I can't say enough about how beautiful Walk in Her Sandals is. And I want you to not wait until Lent to get that book, but really for this like time leading up to, what is our most important solemnity of the year, Easter. It's just such a beautiful, wonderful resource for people. So you're going to love doing that book club, Allison.
I am so, I mean, we just met and kind of just went through all of these ideas, and our Kelly Wahlquist and I, and we're just exploding with how exciting this book is because we also did a week here of that book on, I'll link to that as well, because it's so different, Lisa. I love that it is a nonfiction book and it is a scripture reflection book. And then it has reflections from six different women. You're in one of them, Teresa Tomeo, Kitty Cleveland. They're just incredible witnesses to the Lord working in your own life. And then, of course, Pat Gohn writing about the gift, the gift of womanhood that we have. It's just incredible. It's nothing like it absolutely nothing like it out there.
I'm definitely the president of the Allison Jingers fan club, but I would say that I have to share that with my duties as the Kelly Wahlquist fangirl. And if you want to talk about, you know, women who are sort of visionary in the church, I just have such high regard for Kelly. And this project, you know, is really something that just came to her really as, you know, a vision. And Kelly has the ability, through many gifts that she has, to be able to, a lot of us have ideas, but sometimes we aren't so good at the execution. Yes, when you look at this project and you say, you know, you assemble this sort of dream squad of writers and, you know, you pull it off and you don't pull it off, you know, just kind of like half, but this thing is like really amazing. So, and that's a testament to how closely Kelly's heart is linked to the mission of the new evangelization and the fact that every one of us have a place in that. And she's helping us to prepare for that with what she does with wine.
Absolutely. And then, and bringing together small groups, which is how we kind of connected, because that's where my heart is really, is creating small group Bible studies in real life, small group Bible studies, and being able to share God's word. And then the questions that Carol Young put in there, they're wonderful. It's a wonderful book out again from Ave Maria Press. It's the Walk in Her Sandals. Just amazing. Other amazing books that you are part of, this one all on your own this time, is the Chime Travelers series. Tell me about those.
So Allison, you've been such a great friend of this particular project. It's a series that it right now contains 5 books. These are books, fiction books for children, really aimed at elementary school readers. And my main characters are brother and sister twins who travel in time and interact with different Catholic saints. And the idea is that they have to go back in time to actually kind of learn some lessons from these saints that'll be helpful to problems that they're facing in their real world lives, mm-hmm. which are also problems, you know, you have Faithy, you know, kind of some of the things that kids, you know, face in their day-to-day faith journey. So hopefully it's fun and uplifting and educational, and encourages every kid along their path to sainthood.
Well, I was so excited. I was out with my cousin, who's the mother of my goddaughter, who's just turned 5. And she was talking about how her daughter is just eating up chapter books. She loves having them read to her. And she said, do you know any series that might, you know, we might be able to read to her next? And my face just smiled. Ear to ear grin, because I had already purchased all 5 of them for her for Christmas. And her face, because the covers, the illustrations are so well done, and they're very engaging. And she just, because usually when kids get clothes or books for Christmas, you know that reaction you usually get? Like, where's the toy?
Like, yeah.
I didn't get that this time. This time she had the same grin that I had from ear to ear. And she just got so excited to have these books in her library and to have them read to her. We're going to just hold on right now for just a minute. And we're going to pick up after these breaks with more about the Chime Travelers. I'd love to know, you know, your thoughts. I used to be a preschool teacher, Lisa. I don't know if you know that or not. I used to own a preschool. And I'm just such a proponent of reading with children and how books can help us teach our children and create in our homes and in our family just these really just opportunities to go deeper in subjects. And I love your idea about, you know, teaching children about being saints in the making. And I really want to pick up with that after these messages. We're talking today with Lisa Hendy. She is the founder of CatholicMom.com. And again, the author of Chime Travelers, out from Servant Books, Franciscan Media, as well as the Catholic Mom Prayer Companion from Ave Maria Press. And we talked a little bit about Walk in Her Sandals, also out from Ave Maria Press. There's so many wonderful things out there for us to. I'm just such a book nerd, as you know, if you've been with me for the last 2 years as we enter into our 3rd year of A Seeking Heart. Scripture scripture reading, a spiritual reading, I should say, has been such a catalyst for me in my spiritual growth. And I'm so happy and honored to have this opportunity to share all these wonderful books with you. And I'm hoping that you will stick out this next year as we learn more and more about how much our God just loves us so dearly. We have more with Lisa Hendy after these messages. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Don't go anywhere.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Alison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're celebrating the third anniversary of A Seeking Heart with my guest today, Lisa Hendy, who was so brave to be my first guest ever, my first interview ever on live radio, or ever, really, back in January of 2008. 15. Hard to believe how fast time goes. Lisa is the founder of CatholicMom.com, and she's the author of the Chime Travelers series out from Servant Books, Franciscan Media. And so we were talking about, tell us a little bit about some of this, the saints that we encounter when we're reading the Chime Traveler series.
So the book, the first book is really one that's super close to my heart because the idea really stemmed from this particular saint, and that's Saint Patrick. A lot of us, you know, we know that we wear green on Saint Patrick's Day, but we really don't know the saint. And so sharing his story through this Chime Travelers book, The Secret of the Shamrock, that was just like an amazing opportunity. From Saint Patrick, when we go on to Saint Kateri Tekakwitha, and then it's Saint Francis and Saint Clare in books 3 and 4. And the last one, as it just recently came out, is The Strangers at the Manger. And that is sort of the penultimate family of saints, the Holy Family. So Jesus, Mary, and Joseph at the moment of the Nativity, and really all the way up through that flight into Egypt. So it's been, you know, an effort to kind of combine boy and girl interests and male and female saints, and we learn something special from each of them.
And you really, and they're so well crafted. Like I read the second one, which I was really just incredibly honored to endorse. I read it in adoration, and I learned something. I was enthralled by it. Like I said, I used to be a preschool teacher, so I'm really used to reading children's literature. And good children's literature is something that a parent can read and not be yawning at, or thinking when the kid comes with the book again to read, going, oh, I don't want to read that again, or for the 100th time. But yet it opens up conversation, and they're interested in learning just as much as the child is. And conversation, I think books, the number one thing for me that shows a good book is that it opens up a conversation. And with the Chime Travelers, I so many conversations. I love that you can put a bookmark in it. Obviously, it's a chapter book, so you put a bookmark in it anyway. But to put a bookmark in any place and say, all right, let's talk about what we just learned. Faith and I ended up going on the internet and, you know, looking at pictures because, you know, of her her limitations with language. She's deaf, and we're just really starting to teach her language. She really needs a lot of imagery. So the pictures, the illustrations in the book were fantastic. But then to also go and look at these pictures of the real life saints and to try to teach her, again, we talked about the last segment, this, that she is a saint in the making. What do you think about that? Like, what do you mean by that, being a saint in the making?
You know, it really is for all of us, that one of the things I've learned in studying the lives of these saints is that they weren't perfect, which gives me such great hope that, you know, for somebody like St. Patrick, who had pretty rambunctious youth, but a profound conversion experience, and then that he gave his life over in his own way to, you know, the sharing of the gospel message, and amidst great kind of trial and lots of excitement, that makes for a really compelling story for kids. But I think one of the things that we need to remember remember is that each of us is called to, you know, not just be holy, but really to be the person that God is calling us to be, to live out the gospel in our own settings. And so it's one of the things that's been so amazing about this project is getting out to schools, either in person or most frequently by Skype, you know, to kind of tell the kids, like, we need you. We need your gifts. We need your holiness. We need your love. We need you right now. And we need you to be saints in the making. And the thing that's amazing is that they really rise up to it. So these conversations that I have with them are really dialogue driven. And I'll ask them, you know, what is it that a third grader or a second grader or a sixth grader can do to be a saint? And the things that they respond with just blow me away. They're really amazing.
Can you think of any, not to put you on the spot, can you think of any example that a child said, this is how I think we should become a saint, that kind of just jumps out at you, or you kind of remember from some of your school visits or church?
You know, one big one is always, caring for the uncared for. So they kind of recognize that bullying, and it's something that we talk about in the books, that bullying is a fact of life. You'd hate to think that a second grader could be subjected to bullying, but they really understand that a saint is somebody who, in their context of life, goes and stands with and alongside and takes care of and loves and lifts up the one who is the most unloved. They get that. And to hear them voice that is beautiful to me. They also get that, you know, stewardship of our earth as part of their path to sainthood, that when they recycle or pick up trash on their campus, you know, that that's part of being a saint. And they also understand that, you know, when I do a chore and I earn a little bit of money to drop into that collection basket, not mom just handing me a dollar, but something that I did on my own to work and to raise money, to help the poor, to help my parish, you know, that's part of being a saint too. They get it. They have a lot to teach us.
They really do. I miss when my kids were littler, my 21 and my 18-year-old, they used to have at the back of the church that you could pick up little envelopes for the kids. They were specifically designed for the children to give a little bit. And I think the boys really got that. I mean, they get it now, and they take it and they just put the dollar. I mean, it's their dollar and they put it in the basket. They got that too. But there's something about, like, you know, mimicking your parents by having your own envelope and putting your money in it. And I think that's a part of what I got from the Time Travelers too, as a parent, that my children, while we're looking at these role models of the saints to mimic, to model after, I'm now their role model as well, the saint in the making. You just said that. It's for every one of us. And so when children get to model our behavior, it really does help give them another aspect of learning how to become a saint in the making. And you know, as a parent, I've seen where they do copy things, good or bad. Like, one of the examples I remember is when my little Ian was very little, I couldn't get something into the bookshelf, and I didn't know he was behind me. And I was like, you know, damn, like, why won't you go in there? And then a few days later, little Ian is trying to get a book on his shelf, and I hear, damn, why won't you go in there? I'm like, oh, why don't you pick up all my good things? Their little eyes are always seeing.
So they are. Yeah. Oh, I was just going to say that, you know, a lot of people will sometimes say, well, doesn't that sound like overly pious to say, like, you're trying to be a saint in the making? Oh, you know, like, who are you to say that you want to be a saint? But I think it's something for all of us to really ascribe to in our life. And it's really why I love reading the lives of the saints and sharing them, because every kind of canonized saint comes from a different context. And it just fills me with great hope, but also with purpose for my days.
So let's talk a little bit about the name. I kind of skipped right over that. Why is it called the Chime Travelers? That's C-H-I-M-E, if you can't understand with my lovely Boston accent.
It was intentional because the, you know, almost if you ever write fiction, Allison, and especially if you write anything that has to do with, like, time travel or fantasy, you have to create, like, a whole mythology. Like, it's almost like you enter into this world and the reader sees part of it, but I have this whole kind of, like, developed mythology around the stories. But one of the most important things is that the time travel actually is related to bells. And if you're at or around a Catholic church, you'll notice a lot of bells, specifically often the Angelus bells that chime at various times of the day. And so the time travel missions are always related to that chiming of bells. And it's one of our efforts to try to teach kids So for example, why do we ring bells at noon? Why does that happen? It's an intentional reason. So these books are intended to teach, you know, some things about the faith. We use words like monstrance and, you know, narthex in the context of the stories to teach the kids about, you know, and actually, frankly, a lot of grownups too, what happens in and around our church, but make it fun at the same time and exciting.
Yeah, I didn't even hear the word narthex until I was probably 40 something. And I'm not even sure I completely have it correct. So is that the when you first walk into the church, the area before you actually enter into the congregation, like where the pews are? Is that what the narthex is?
Yep, absolutely. And it looks a little different in every church, but a lot of times it's the place where, you know, mommies with little kids who need a break during the homily go. But those are things that, like, not to try to force too much like Catholic vocabulary on them, but it's things that maybe aren't necessarily, they might not organically hear in their day-to-day life. And doing it this way makes it just, you know, kind of an organic part of their upbringing as Catholic kids.
Well, I love our Catholic ease. I mean, you can get kind of lost in it in some places, but I do think that the Catholic faith has this really beautiful vocabulary, and it is important to look at it. And like I said, I was 40-something before I realized what an ambo was or a narthex, just wonderful things. And just one more quick thing, you no longer have the treehouse to write in. Does this mean we're dumb? Doesn't mean we're done with the I know. What a horrible host to mention this.
Oh, no, it's so sad.
Great loss in your life.
I know. Actually, the treehouse and my parish were the two saddest things to leave, and not in that order. Parish first, treehouse second. I don't know what God's plan is for this series. I'm just asking people to pray and to support these first five books. And if you're a teacher or a Sunday school catechist, I'd love to come Skype with your classroom. All you have to do, it's free. Just drop an email to lisa@catholicmom.com.
And if you have a parish bookstore, book library or bookstore or any way, really, as a gift to your parish, I'm just going to really entreat you to bring these in. They're wonderful books. If you have a group that gets together with moms, like, bring it in, share these books, because they are very unique. And again, supporting not only our Catholic bookstores, but we also need to support our Catholic authors and our Catholic publishers. We need to keep this really good, rich Catholic literature out there. We're talking this morning with Lisa Hendy, and we have much more here at Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please don't go away.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we are celebrating our third year of A Seeking Heart with my guest, Lisa Hendy. If you'd like to support A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, please visit breadboxmedia.com, click on A Friend of the Show, and you can learn more about how you can become a friend of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras. For just $10 a month or more, you can become a premium member, and for you, that means you get your choice of a prayer squirrel, cutest little thing you put wherever you want, and every time you see it, it's supposed to be there to remind you to pray and to bring God to mind. And no, I don't think God's a squirrel. I'm just the squirrel girl, and they're awfully cute. You can get a rosary bracelet handmade by me or my friend Lori. You also get extra entries in every giveaway and a once a month Google Hangout. Again, friend of the show, go to breadboxmedia.com to learn more. We're talking today with Lisa Hendy, founder of CatholicMom.com, and also author of Chime Travelers and Catholic Mom Prayer Companion. And a thing that you have coming up this month, Lisa, that I really want to hear all about is you're traveling to India with Unbound. Tell me all about this. So excited.
Oh, Allison, we have been partnered with Unbound, our friends at Unbound, and people might know them by their former name, the Christian Foundation for Children and Aging, CFCA. We've been friends with them and online partners for about I think 5 or 6 years now. And last year I was so blessed to travel on one of their sponsor awareness trips to meet my sponsored child in the Philippines. Wow. And I'm so happy that in just a few weeks' time, I'm actually going to be going to Southern India with them to meet my sponsored elder. And I'm beyond the moon excited about this opportunity, just because I'm so in love with the mission of Unbound and the work that they do to lift up sponsored children and elders and seminarians and religious sisters. And it's just such a great organization.
You know, I know I hear this a lot when people are asked to support a child or an elder in another country. They're like, how, like, does this really, are these people really exist? Do they really get the money? Can you tell me a little bit about how Unbound works, and we can kind of put all of that, that uncertainty to rest?
So first of all, that is a good question to be asking. And one of the great things about Unbound is they're very, very high rankings on both Charity Navigator. And actually, they were one of the top 5 charities on Consumer Reports this year for sponsorship. Wow. So it's really, you can rely on the fact that their administrative costs are very low, and that when you as a sponsor decide to sponsor someone, you enter actually into a very personal relationship with them. An account is actually opened in that person's name. I can share with you that when I went to the Philippines last year, I was actually able to review the savings passbook of the account of my, you know, my sponsored child, and to see specifically. Yes. And so that, you know, though a large portion of our investment in this goes directly to that child to provide for their education, their material needs, their healthcare, different things like that. So you can rest assured that it's a very trustworthy organization. And I could just share, like, in my own experience as an Unbound sponsor, that, you know, I went to the Philippines last year thinking about, like, the ways in which, you know, I was going to be helping my sponsor chat. The truth is that my sponsored friends are such a blessing to me.
Wow.
They teach me so much about faith, about perseverance, just about, you know, what it means to live in a global community and to be brothers and sisters in a God who loves us. So it's just an amazing, I can't say enough about what an opportunity it is.
Well, our family has been very blessed. We started off with CFCA back when my kids were little. I've always picked sponsored children's whose birthday were close to my children's birthdays. And I think that just gives them this friend that lives in a different place where they can share kind of, you know, as they both grow together. We've had several already kind of age out of the system. And my daughter right now, Faith, has her little friend. Their birthdays are both coming up in just the next week, which is kind of fun. I love that you get to communicate with them. But I have to be honest, when I first started to sponsor children, I wasn't as active in communicating with them. How does a sponsor child feel about receiving a letter or a gift from their sponsor?
Oh, that was the biggest thing, Allison. Last year was just when I was in the Philippines, so many children said, do you know my sponsor, Mrs. Mary? She lives in Ohio. And would you ask her to write me a letter? Because I write her every, you know, they write us regularly through the organization, but so many sponsored kids and elders don't receive letters back, because we might think, oh, well, really, like, we might have that question, am I just supporting the program? But the truth is that you're really, you know, connected to this human. And Allison, when I went into their homes last year, so often the sponsored families had family pictures in their family altars. In the Philippines, everyone has like a little kind of sacred space in their home.
Wow.
And your picture, your family's picture is likely there in your sponsored child's home. And they're not only writing you, but they're praying for you and Faith and your whole family. And to have seen that kind of firsthand with my own eyes makes it really easy for me to say, wow, the dollar a day that I give up every month to be an Unbound sponsor is the best dollar that I spend.
So. Oh my goodness. It gave me goosebumps, because our child is actually from the Philippines, the child that we sponsor. She is from the Philippines. And it just reminding me that, and I need to get online today with my daughter who's homesick from school, and we need to send. I love that Unbound gives you this opportunity to handwrite and mail your letter, which we tried to do and include a photo. In fact, it just reminded me, I put a little note here. I have an updated photo of the whole family to send to them, but also you can go online you know, if you're short on time and you're just think I can't get this letter out, but to go online and to send a, you can send a birthday greeting, you can send extra, you know, for her birthday, we'll make it a little extra donation. And for Christmas, same thing. And I just reminding me that this is for a person and it's not just going to some big conglomeration, but this little girl who's going to be 11 years old, who lives in the Philippines, is going to be blessed by our giving up very little, you know, in our standards from, this world. My goodness, how exciting.
I think it's just a great way to teach our families about geography and kind of the, you know, what's happening around the world too. We do live in sort of this very interconnected world, but their life is very different from ours. And so, you know, to, I actually have both of my sponsored friends, I have the weather for their cities on my phone. And when I look up the weather for wherever I'm going, I see, you know, her little city in the Philippines or my new elder in Southern India. And it's just a reminder, oh my gosh, it's raining there. It's really hot there today or whatever, just to keep them in prayer. And so it's about more than just, you know, this little financial thing that we give, but really, you know, somebody that we're connected to. And I can't say enough about the fact that, you know, what the small sacrifices that we make have a huge impact on our lives.
So. I love that you call them friends. I love that. I've never really, I think of her, but I don't think of calling her a friend. So we're going to add that to our vocabulary when we're speaking about Anya. Now we'll call her our friend. And for us, it's really hard sometimes to find charitable ways to teach, you know, around that's hands-on that really teaches my children about charity. And do you find that this Unbound program really gives an opportunity for families to teach charity in their home?
Yes. And Allison, you know, my boys are older and they're actually young adults now, but one of the biggest ways that I can tell this is actually the fact that I have to not cry while I'm saying it. You know, my son Eric became engaged this year and we're so excited about his upcoming wedding. He and his fiance have chosen, even in their engagement period, to become Unbound sponsors.
Oh my gosh, you gave me goosebumps. So now I'm going to cry. That's so beautiful. Oh,
it is. And it was a surprise to me. So.
And so what will you know? I'm sure, knowing you, that you will be sharing your journey with us through social media.
Right. Absolutely. I'm so excited. I've actually started sharing. Whenever I do one of these trips, I do a journal online. So over at CatholicMom.com, you can already check out the first installment in my India journal. And you'll meet my sponsored elder friend who's 80. I can't wait to meet her.
Oh,
and her name is Lord You Mary. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but I love that the ending of her name is Mary and the beginning sounds like L-O-U-R-D, like Lords. So I don't know if she's Catholic or not. It doesn't really matter, but I think of our Blessed Mother and her yes when I think of this elder friend. So I'll be sharing not only there, but I'll also be using hashtag Unbound Adventure on all of social media. So I'll be Snapchatting and Instagramming. And I'm actually hoping for this trip to do some Facebook live video live from India. So stay tuned to my CatholicMom.com Facebook page for that.
And I love, again, that you're sponsoring not just a child, but an elder. And, you know, the world really does respect their elders far more, I think, than I don't mean to throw the Americans under the bus, but I don't think that we respect elders quite the way the rest of the world does, their wisdom and their how they respect them. So I'm really excited to see your trip to India, Unbound Adventure or with an S?
Adventure. Yes.
Gotcha.
And you can follow unbound.org. On all social media as well.
Well, Lisa, we're coming to the end of our time together. I can't believe how quickly this went by. Is there anything you'd like to leave us with? Any parting thoughts?
Just a blessing for you, Allison. I'm virtually giving you the third anniversary gift of leather. That's the traditional gift for your third anniversary, but especially a spiritual bouquet and lots of prayers for whatever the next year holds for you. And I hope I'm talking to you on January 5th next year too.
Me too. I'm putting it on my calendar right now. Just so grateful again to my guest today, Lisa Hendy. She's the founder of CatholicMom.com. You can follow her venture. And when do you leave, by the way?
The 17th. And if people could be kind of covering me in prayer, that would be amazing. So it's a big adventure.
Absolutely.
We will be safe travels here. And good Wi-Fi.
Absolutely. Thanks again to Lisa Hendy, CatholicMom.com or LisaHendy.com to learn more about what Lisa is up to. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.